Thank you. Dear Lord, what is that, a good song? Go ahead, sister. Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
I don't know, but I know I'm saved.
Yeah.
I'm not lost. You know that message you preached today? There was a time I sat in a church professing to be saved, and I was as lost as I could be on my way to hell. People thought I was going to heaven if I'd have died. They said, boy, he's with Jesus. No, I'd have been in hell. But you know what? I got saved. I got born again. And that message you preached today, buddy, thrilled my soul because I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. But a message like that don't scare me now. It makes me rejoice because I know that I'm born again. My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm on my way to heaven.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Well, glory. If you got your Bibles, first of all, if you got a Bible, wave it at me. Sure. I want to see if you got one. Wave it, wave it, wave it. Amen. It is good to be here tonight. Amen. I want to ask you, this by way of live stream, do share this message. It will be a help to you. It'll be a help to your friends. And I believe you'll be blessed by it. And I want you to go to the letter of 1 Peter chapter number 1. And I want to take the first paragraph of 1 Peter chapter number 1, the verse 8 verses, and like for you to stand to your feet. And I've got a thought on my heart tonight. I'm just going to plow into it and keep preaching it and plowing into it until it takes hold on you. Amen? 1 Peter chapter number 1. I hope you have a copy of your King James Bible with you tonight. If you have another kind, you might not understand mine. Hello. I want you to notice the letter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers. I want you to notice the background here. Scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect, oh boy, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according unto his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, and I want you to notice this, unto a lively hope.
Amen.
By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Amen.
To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. This thrills my soul. Whom having not seen, I ain't seen him yet, ye love. And whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What a paragraph. Our Father, anoint your preacher tonight. God, I want to help people tonight in such a way. In my soul, I know there's people that is listening to me while the way of live stream, people in this building tonight that feel like they have no hope. everything's lost. Everything's gone. But tonight, before it's over, and before we walk out the door, may there be someone grab a hold of hope. Know where hope comes from. Know lasting hope. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. I want to give you the background, because the background of what I'll be preaching really lays into what the four thoughts that I'll give you tonight. At this moment in history, Rome had just been burnt. That's important that you know it. And Rome was burnt in AD 64. And most people believe, and history teaches, that Nero himself burnt Rome. But here's what Nero done after he burnt Rome. He didn't get the blame. Let me help you. He did not get the blame. He blamed the church. Somebody help me preach. He blamed this infant church, and they were scattered. They were persecuted. This little church that had been planted in an infancy was suffering all out persecution. And they were being tried and they are being tested. Every one of you in this room, you need to get off your Joe Osteen stuff. This world, listen to me, is after us. The devil is after us. And some of these fiery preachers paint such a picture. Listen, we're living in a hostile world. We're strangers. We're scattered. We're persecuted. We're hated. But thank God, we're on the winning side. Whew. Oh, help me. If you know history, what had happened at this time also, a Jewish war broke out. Even the Jews were fighting each other. They were scattered from their homes. They lost their job. During these years, it was the same years, Brother Jeff, that Paul got his head cut off. And Peter was crucified upside down. It were difficult times. They were drowning in their danger. They were under disdain. They were distressed. They were discouraged. They were depressed. They felt like quitting. They felt like the Christian life really wasn't worth it. But in the midst of their storm, Peter, while he was in Babylon, wrote him a letter. And I want to tell you what this letter is all about. It ain't nothing more than a pep talk. Every once in a while, preachers like me can't just preach what we preached this morning. Because some of you would die if I did. But I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to get behind the pulpit. Tell all the people in the church, tell the people that's listening by the way of live stream, and give you an old-fashioned pep talk. When I play football, I did play football. You're looking at me now, I look like an ice cream, two ice cream cones put upside down. You probably think he ain't never played football. But I played football, and I played basketball. And I tell you what we did, and they still do it today. They used to have a pep rally. Now, I was a pretty good football player. I was second team All-State. I was all-conference basketball player. But I tell you what, I loved them pep rallies. And I was an old redneck anyhow. I would get up there. Man, I was about half crazy. I said, "Whoa! Whoa!" We, and I know this ain't going to be politically correct. "Whoa! We Indians going to go scalp them this week." And I know that's not politically correct, but I'm in church and don't give a flip. Somebody help me preach. See, what we need to be able to tell each other, hope is not over. Come on now. Look at verse number 3, because this is where I'm preaching. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, which according unto his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. Now listen to this. Unto a what kind of hope? Somebody say it. Everything that looked hopeful had been shattered. No homes, no jobs, no friends. Hey, by the way, we're living in a country that hates Christians.
Come on.
It used to be, even if the world disagreed with us, they respected us. But there is an all-out assault on the church of God. Let's tell it like it is. There's all-out assault on Christians. Am I preaching? And you know what Peter was trying to tell them? He said, you need to get back to God. You were begotten by him. You were adopted in the family of God. Somebody help me preach. Hey, by the way, the kind of hope I'm talking about that I want you to get into tonight is not a dead hope. It's not a part-time hope. Somebody help me. It's not a wish it would happen hope. It's not a suspect hope. It's not an up and down hope. It's not a temporary hope. It's a lively hope. Hey, your situation tonight, your marriage, your life, your livelihood is not hopeless tonight, because our hope is not built on what we think. It is built on the resurrection of Christ from the grave, and it is a lively hope. Lively hope. Woo. Lord have mercy. It's not alive because you were baptized. It's not alive because of this church. It's not alive because you pay your tithe. It's not alive because you do good. It's not alive because you're better than somebody else. It's alive because one day they hung him on a cross, beat him to a pulp. But early on Easter morning, he got up. Somebody say it with me. He got up. He got up. Oh, I'm about to preach. He got up. And because he got up, we got a lively hope. See, our hope is not in Paul. Our hope is not in Peter. Our hope's not in the church. Our hope's not in the Pope. Our hope's not in Muhammad. Our hope's not in our ancestry. Our hope's not in our money. But my hope is built on nothing less save Jesus and his righteousness. Whew. Here lately, I've been running into a lot of people that are hopeless. I know we're in a bad economy. I know we're in the midst of a terrible, wicked virus. I know that terrorism and racism abounds. But I want you all to know, we need to redirect our focus tonight. What, the economy may be down. Your health may be down. But thank God. Thank God that Jesus is alive. And as long as he's alive and he'll always be alive, there is hope for you. Whew. Now I'm going to try to be your usher. And the Holy Ghost be your guide. I'm about ready to shout, Brother Chapman. I told you I was having a shouting sermon tonight. Whew. Let me give you 4 reasons for our lively hope. What kind of hope you got tonight? Was last year just about the worst year you've had? Come on now. Yeah. It was a miserable year in a lot of ways. But in the midst of it, I got to tell you, in the midst of it, I can have to hold me some hope. I found out that he was still alive despite a virus, despite chaos in our country. Hey, by the way, I had some, don't be a knucklehead to me because I don't like hearing it. Somebody told me this week, said, well, preacher, call me up. Some preacher called me. I didn't stay on the phone. I don't like to be depressed. He said, well, you know what? You know what's going on, don't you? He said, all of our hope is next Tuesday in the election in Georgia. I want you to know, my hope wasn't in the presidential election. My hope's surely not in the Georgia election. Ladies and gentlemen, they may put two liberals in. I hope not. I wish not. But I want you to know, if they put both of those liberals, that one preacher, so-called preacher, ain't got enough sense coming out of the rain. I want you to know something. You hear me? My hope's not in him. My hope's not in Mitch McConnell. God knows my hope's not in Nancy Pelosi. My no hope is in Christ Jesus. I want you to know, John Smith's going to make it. He's going to make it not because of politics, not because of politicians. I'm going to make it because Christ is alive. All right. Whew. Let me give you four things. Please, please, please write these down. Or get to tape. Or listen again on live stream tonight. What's our lively hope? Let's talk about it. Based on, number one, in verse 2, it's based on our position as God's children. Amen. I want you to know, I was God's child ever since January 31st, 1973. Year after year, I was God's child. And it ain't nothing that happened in 2020 or will happen in 2021, going to change that one little bit. I am a child of God, heir of God, and joint heir with Jesus Christ. He called them strangers. That's the Greek word, paradimos, sojourners. I hope you know this. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. You know what I think? I think too many of us have got too hooked up on this world. I want to say this. I'm trying not to get on no negative stuff, but I'm going to a little bit. You know what's wrong? Now, this good crowd tonight, I hope to God that some of you people on live stream that's hiding out, you ain't sick, you ain't got no underlying conditions, ain't nothing wrong with you other than you've listened to the media and the hype, and you're hunkered down, and dear God, you're a mess. You're sitting there with your coffee right now, done got cold on you. You know what your problem is? You've been listening to the voices instead of listening to God. Somebody help me preach. I want you to know something. If I get the virus, I'm just going to try not to give it to you. I'm going to try to get, my doctor told me, Dave, you get it, call me, get a test, call me. I'm shooting you up with this new drug. I said, man, just shoot me up. And by the way, I know a lot of people said they ain't going to take vaccination. Well, go ahead and I'll take it. But if you are one that can take it and you don't want to take it, put my name in there. I'll take that sucker for every one of y'all. I ain't a bit worried about it. You say, well, if it kills you, I'm in heaven. I'm looking at you, sister. She wants me to wait on Johnson & Johnson. I'm waiting on Jesus. Woo! What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Neither peril, nor disease, nor anything shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, let's do a little exegesis this verse. Let me tell you why I'm so happy. Blessing. Well, go back to verse 2. How many got verse 2? Right? Look at it. Let me start it off. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. You know why I got a lively hope? Because, now get this, I have been selected by God.
Amen.
Now, this morning, would you not agree? I preached on responsibility. Tonight, I'm preaching on sovereignty. And a lot of people can't get a hold of this, but God, before the foundation of the world, selected me. You said, no, he didn't. Well, what's it say there? Hey, listen to me. You said, why you got such a hope? I didn't select God. I didn't seek out God. Hey, God found me. God, hey, by the way, if Almighty God that holds the world in his hands selected me, don't you think he can take care of me? Don't you think he can love me? Don't you think he can favor me? Don't you think he can get me through? Don't you think he can if he went all the way to select you? Woo! Now, he didn't say, I'm going to save some and send some to hell. That's not what he said about this. But I want you to know God had wisdom. And he selected me. Chad, this is good. According to the foreknowledge of God. Now, you say, well, God couldn't predict that. God couldn't know you was going to be saved. Wait a minute. You know there's a lot of smart people in the world. You know what? There's people that'll tell you when there's a high tide and a low tide. Because they're kind of smart. And there's people can tell you when daylight's going to come and when darkness is going to fall. They can predict that. Whew. But my God, from the foundation of the world, pick me. And... And by the way, I'm saved because he arranged my salvation. I'm saved because he... I don't guess y'all getting this right now. You know why you got hope? It wasn't upon you to get it, to find it. It was God who found you. And he found a bunch of us in unlikely, wicked places. Now let me go on. Don't end with that. Because also it said we were sanctified through the Spirit. So what God the Father done, he planned this whole thing. And then God the Holy Ghost come. By the way, I want all y'all to know something. You know why my hope's so strong? I'd have never been saved, Chad, if the Holy Ghost wouldn't have came and drawn me. And don't you tell me you can come to God and you can make your mind up anytime you want to. No, you'll come to God when God comes to you and draws you by his Holy Spirit. Am I preaching? Oh man, I ain't done yet, y'all. Don't get done yet. Then I was saved in verse 2 by God the Son. There's a sprinkling of his blood. Yeah. I want you to know all three of them are co-equal, co-eternal. They're righteous. They're pure. You see, God thought my salvation. The Holy Spirit wrought my salvation. The Son bought my salvation. The devil fought my salvation. But I caught my salvation. And I want you to know I ain't got no dead hope. I got a lively hope. And you know what bothers me? I'm going to run a rabbit. Can I? You new boys, I don't know what you believe, but you go fixing on to get the right belief. I'm telling you what's right now. There's a bunch of churches out there. Boy, I'm going to flame them right now. They teach this. You can be saved, then you can lose it. Then you can get saved again, and you can lose it. And you can get saved again, and you lose it. I want to tell you, if that's the way it was, I just fold it up. Because I'd be lost every day. See, your staying saved had nothing to do about you. Amen. It has all to do with him selecting you. He that begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. This world don't have anything like that. Amen. Do you think this world has? This world does not have anything permanent. Amen. You know, Dr. Know-it-all Fauci. He ain't worth a nickel. In March, he told us masks were worthless. Today, you're committing an unpardonable sin if you don't have one on. Where's y'all's mask, boy? I'm going to cut your throat. You better get them on. Hello? See, he don't know light from darkness. He don't know nothing. Hello? He been guesstimating. Well, if 75% gets vaccinated, that might be good enough. He don't have a clue. Somebody help me. I know somebody has a clue. And his name's God, and his son is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit does his work. Somebody help me preach. Number two. Boy, this is good. Then I want you to notice in verse 4, a possession to come. Look at what. Jeff, this is so good, I can't hardly stand myself. It said, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Amen. That's a possession to come. Amen. When this old body decays, I got a revelation. I'm going to get a new one. Woo! Hey, I've got a reservation. I'm laying up my treasures where moth and rust don't corrupt. Now, down here, your house might lose some equity. Your clothes may be worn. But up there, my house is getting more expensive by the moment. You ever thought about heaven, Chad? It's reserved for me. Amen. Well, how in the world are you walking in here with no hope? Amen. You know why I say you have no hope? Because everything you're hoping for is in this world, and you're not hoping for things that's out of this world. Somebody help me preach right there. I got something beyond this world. Then I see the protection of the course. Now, look at verse 5. Somebody help me preach. Now, I mentioned a moment ago, what would Christianity be, Chad, if I guessed, was always guessing I was going to make it? That I've been told that I have to do something to stay saved. What kind of Christianity would that be? Would somebody tell me? That would be a lifeless, hopeless, terrible way to have to live. You said, but I know churches, preacher, that says you got to hold on to the end. I want you to know something. It ain't up to my holding on. But I want you to know it's up to his holding on me. Hallelujah! I want y'all know your car may broke down. It broke down. You may have some messes, but I want you to know your mansion is real. The marriage supper is real. You may struggle on the way, but I want you to know one of these days we're going to be present at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Notice, I'm kept by the power of God. That's present. I want all y'all to know something. Hear me. I can't be lost again. Now, if you went to a church that taught you that, and that's embedded in you, you need to get that false doctrine out of you, because you'll never have any hope as long as you have that. I want you to know, it's not because I'm a Baptist is right. It's biblically right that you're eternally secure. And any churches, hey, I want to tell you what. Any church, I use this verse more, teaches you can't be saved forever. It's calling God a lie, a liar, and they are not believing the record he gave of his son. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Tell your neighbor, say it to him, I'm going to make it. You know why I'm going to make it? Because God's going to take me. Somebody help me, Ray. And you said, but what power? The same power that resurrected Christ from the grave is the power that's keeping me saved tonight. And then it said it's going to be revealed in the last time. That's a presentation. Come on. How many of y'all thought about it? How many of y'all thought about the rapture lately? Anybody? Wave at me if you thought about it. I don't want to get y'all shook up. But I really think all that you've seen last year and you're seeing now is all it's doing is laying out the table for the angel to come and wet his lips and blow the trumpet and shout, come up hither. I'm about to get drunk in the Holy Ghost. One of these days, the trumpet's going to sound. Wouldn't that be good? How many like for it to be tonight? Man, you remember that song, that movie, Armageddon? You remember, some of y'all ever watch that? I'm carnal. I watch stupid stuff sometimes. I don't even like the movie, but I like the last song. I'm leaving on a jet plane, I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know the song, I only know that part. But one of these days, I'm not going to leave on a jet plane, but gravity's going to, what's in me is matching what's up there. And he says, come up hither. And that nature of mine, the whoop glory, that's identical to the Holy Ghost, is going to be zapped up out of here. And they tell you, you don't have any hope. Last thing, I'm done. Whew. Then I want you to notice in verse 7 and 8, the perspective or prospect or perspectiveness in a crisis. Here's what it says. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. There's people in this room, you come in the church with a trial in your life. You came into church with something heavy on you. But look what the Bible said, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ. My Lord, you got a precious faith. You go through a purging fire. You know, when I got married, in a few days it'd be 47 years. And I'm going to be honest with you. It ain't been always easy. And a few times, probably Marguerite thought, I need to dump this thing. Now, I ain't never thought that about her, because I'd be a mess if that happened. But you know what? And we went through some fire in our marriage. We went through some fire with our children. But I want you to read this. Stay with me. I'm almost done, but read this. That the trial of your faith be more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ. That's praise to the Father and a wonderful prospect whom you see not, you love. Can you think about this? I don't know what you're going through. And you may think, What you're going through is hopeless. Look at me. And you may think, well, people can't change and my circumstance can't change. Oh, yes, it can. If you gravitate to the lively hope, as long as you try to fix it, and as long as you put your hands in it, most likely it's going to blow sky high. Amen. But if you say, you know what? I'm not willing to throw everything away. I'm not willing to let the devil destroy me. I need some hope, God. Yeah. And God's looking down tonight. Maybe you're jobless. Maybe you're friendless. Maybe you don't know where you're going, and God's looking out and at you tonight. I got you. I got your back. I got a lively hope. I'm alive. My son's right here at the right hand of God making intercession for you. You're going to make it. I'll get you through. I love you. I'll care for you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Tonight, let me ask you a question. Come here, Chad. Come here, man. Just come up here a second. Has the devil ever whispered in your ear and said, everything's hopeless? There ain't no use you trying. Huh?
Yes, sir.
You ever had that?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of miserable, isn't it? Hey, Chad, ain't nothing you do make it better. I want all y'all to know, he's a liar.
Come on. Amen.
There's one thing you can do. Run to Jesus. Amen. Come to your lively hope. You may have cancer. You may have have your marriage upside down. You may have some kind of problem tonight. Maybe your finances are going down the tubes. But there is hope in Christ. Stand up with me. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many of you are 100% sure if you died today, you know you're going to heaven? Raise them up. Thank you. Anybody here couldn't raise them? If you can't raise them now and say, preacher, I need Jesus. Now I want to ask a question. Anyone here, anybody in here the devil told you lately, there ain't no use trying, there ain't no hope, and he's been whispering in your ear that it ain't going to make no difference, nothing's going to make a difference. If he's told that lie to you, raise your hand and say, pray for me. Yes, I see him. Raise them up and say, pray for me. Raise them up and say, pray for me. Raise them up and say, pray. I got you. I see them. Come on. How many about your family? Right now, the devil's fighting it. Just slip your hand up and say, I need help in my family. I need help. I need help. I see it. I need help. Preacher, right now, I need a job. Raise your hand. I'll pray for you. Yes. Preacher. The finances are real low. I need prayer. I need help. Raise your hand. Every one of you, raise your hand. Why don't you come around this altar? It's just 6 o'clock. And say, I want to grasp that lively hope. You online, if you're not saved, trust him. You that's online, that's been scared half to death by the media, you can still trust Jesus. Our Father, I pray right now that every one of us would drop our pride and not worry about what anybody thinks and come up around this altar and seize upon that lively hope in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you come?